Now, our brother Jim has prepared himself for this day, and I ask that you give him your kind attention and your prayers.
Good evening to each and every one of you that are here and those that are live streaming. I am afraid that you guys may suffer God dealing with me. I thought I had a sermon all prepared. It's one I've been praying about and looking at for some time. And then, about 35 minutes ago, that all changed. But I'm going to read the scripture that I was going to use as my word tonight. And that's Isaiah 9:6. One familiar, and it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And a while back, I started looking at all those things that Christ was going to be called, and I was going to preach on those names tonight. There are 84 scriptures that talk about God's peace be with you. Altogether, there's 283 scriptures that deal with peace, God's peace. And I thought that's what's going to be the main push of my sermon tonight. But like I said, it got changed. So I'm going to have to title my sermon this evening, "They All Slept," with a subtitle, "Then When You Wake Up, Follow God." So we're going to start this evening in Matthew. Very well-known scripture of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. And we read in Matthew, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be in like 10 virgins who took their lamp and they went forth to meet the bridegroom." And I had a problem with this a little bit, and I always have until this evening. Why is the kingdom of heaven like 10 virgins that are earthly? Why is that kingdom that Christ was speaking about like unto these that we're going to read? So I want to stop there, and I want to go back into the beginning where we start reading about Christ in the New Testament and read Matthew 3:2. Speaking of John the Baptist, "And he was the voice that was crying into the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, you know, to make his path straight." And in the second verse, we read this that he was saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It wasn't here yet. It wasn't on this land. It wasn't with the house of Israel. God hadn't established it yet. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Prayer, where Christ was teaching us how to pray. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. We read this. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So God's kingdom still was not here. By Christ's prayer. So when did it get here? The kingdom came with Jesus Christ when he rearose. That is my belief. And what gives me that belief is because of that same prayer where Christ was teaching him how to pray in 3 Nephi in the 5th chapter, page 639, verses 101 to 107. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The kingdom that Christ was speaking about in Matthew, Christ brought. And he was telling those that were following after him, the kingdom that I have brought, you all are like this, because this is my kingdom here on earth. Okay. Then we can, at least I can understand. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The kingdom of God. The gospel of Christ was here in all of its authority and all of its glory. And all of us are represented by the virgins. I believe the lamp is to be the gospel of Christ, and the oil is the works of the righteous. And so we continue. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. If you want a parallel set of scriptures to this in a different way, look at the parable of the sower. Matthew 13. They all had heard the word. They all had been taught. They all received the invitation to come to the wedding. But while the bridegroom tarried, they slept. We often do this. We go to reunions. We go places. We get on these spiritual highs, and we're all beefed up, and we're ready to go. And then the very thing that makes us special in God's eyes turns out to be our worst enemy. We become apathetic. We allow our guard to be put down. And we sleep. We all sleep. We all sin. We all make mistakes. We all fall asleep spiritually. Verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. So their lamps have been burning. That's how I read this. Their lamps were already burning while they slept, and they wasted their oil. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for you, for us and you, but go ye there to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So the wise that were ready, that were prepared, got to go into the wedding, and the door was shut. Verse 11. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. None of us know the time of when, where, or how we're going to be called to the wedding. None of us. We have to be prepared. Turn over into Mark, to a parallel set of scriptures, but dealing with different people. Excuse me, Mark 14. No, that didn't look right. Verses 31 through 42. Another group of people, they just got done being excited because of what happened a few minutes beforehand. All of them were on a spiritual high, like the virgins that received their invitation to the wedding. Now we're going to read about the disciples. They were served the sacrament. They were fed. They were taught. Christ washed their feet. I believe they were on a spiritual high. They left the upper chamber singing songs. They were happy. They were cheerful. And then we read, starting in the 31st verse. And I start here for the reason of the very last sentence in that verse. Because we read here at the Last Supper, where Christ was talking to Peter about denying him. I'm going to pick on Peter for a minute. Peter, one of the first men called. Peter, that got out of the ship, started to walk on water. Peter, who saw Christ raise the dead. As did all the 12. But the verses there were about Peter. So I'm going to pick on Peter. But the other disciples were just like him. And we read that here in 31st verse. But he spoke, and more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Then it says, likewise also said they all. We often hear that Peter was saying that I will not deny you. But it wasn't just him. It was all of them. Just like we have seen many marvelous things happen with prayer. Just like we have seen many miraculous things by God's hand. We can liken ourselves unto the 12 or the 11. And then we read on, 32nd verse. And they came to the place which was named Gethsemane. And he said unto his disciples, set ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the first three that he called to. And began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass him. We often read here about what Christ went through. And every time I go to these scriptures, that's who my mind automatically goes to. But there's a lesson to be learned with those that were with him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible with thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he came and findeth them sleeping and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Could not watch 1 hour? He slept. Spiritually, he let down. He slept. They all slept. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Mankind. The very thing that makes us special in all the kingdom of all creation is also our worst enemy, ourselves. The things that we can do, the things that we can think of, the things that we can make. Beautiful paintings. Things that can go into space. We can make it possible for us to live in inhospitable areas. Our flesh is truly remarkable. But we can say, here am I with our mouth. But we can allow our flesh to say, now wait a minute. Lord, I know I really want to do this, but I think that's one of the things that happened to Peter when he stepped out of the boat. Spiritual high. God called him. Lord called him. He was getting out. He was going to meet his maker. The waves were rolling. The wind was blowing and howling. And he allowed his flesh to start worrying about the elements. I should sink. Or when he pulled the sword and cut off the ear, did he not know? Had he not been taught by the master, I can bring down angels to protect me? Flesh of man cannot protect those things that are spiritual. Christ could have protected himself. He did not need Peter and his sword to do so. And again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he had turned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither was they what to answer him. Hard for me to read. I take that as meaning that they were so sound asleep, they were so tired, that when he shook them, they didn't answer. They were so deep in sleep, they couldn't hear his call. Spiritually, we can be so deep in our sleep that we cannot hear or see the Master when he calls. And he came the third time and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up. Let us go. Lo, he that betrayed me is at hand. Turn me over to 2 Nephi. Page 109. 2 Nephi, the 6th chapter, verses 56 to 58. But one to him that hath the law given, yea, that has all the commandments of God, like unto us, and then transgress them, and that waste the day of his probation, for awful is his state. Oh, the cutting plans of the evil one. Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men. Oh, what an awful state. Go back and think about the 10 virgins in Matthew, in the 25th chapter, the 12th verse. Would you like to hear him say, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. What an awful state. What an awful state they put themselves in because they were not prepared. They had the law, they had the commandments, they had everything at their disposal. But it was not important enough for them to do the things that they were required to fill their lamps, to do the work of their righteous. You can't steal or ride on the righteousness of another. It's yours. You own it. You get it. It's your prize. Don't be vain and foolish about it. Understand that just because I said, Lord, Lord, does not mean I'm going to get into the kingdom of heaven. These are scriptures that people like to turn away from. They like not to pay attention to. Excuse me. Because they just want to do a part, a portion. They want the frills of getting the announcement, getting the invitation, but they didn't want to dress and prepare for it. And they paid that awful price. Psalms, 51st chapter. If you'd like to read the story that leads up to this, 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 25. David spiritually slumbered. He allowed himself to fall. And he did some pretty grievous things. And now we get to read his prayer to God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy mercies, blot out my transgressions. David knew that he made some blunders, some big blunders. And he knew that he couldn't change a darn thing. So he had to humble himself. And returned back unto God. He woke up. Second verse. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is forever before me. And his sins were going to be ever before him, because after Nathan brought it to his attention, all of Israel knew what he did. All of the kingdoms around Israel knew what he did. His sin was going to be ever before him, even though God forgave him. Think about it. He caused an innocent man to be slain. Uriah paid for David's sin with his life. Uriah paid it. Then David's newborn son paid it. I would say his sins are pretty grievous. But there is hope. Dropping down to the 10th verse. David understood the things that he had. He understood that he had to change something within him. And if he changed it and he took it out, then something else had to be there. So he asked God to create in him a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Because David didn't have the right spirit when he sent Uriah to the front to be slain. He was trying to protect himself. Renew a right spirit within me. If you ever find yourself in a place, I have. When I woke up spiritually, I had to change things. And I, like David, had to go to Christ and say, help me, help my stupid self. Renew my spirit and make it right. Cast me not away from thine presence, 11th verse, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David understood that God can't be, or sin can't be where God is. God will not condone our sins. But he will restore us from them if we repent. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Bring back the joy. That's not happiness. It's something deep. It's lasting. The joy of thy salvation. Thirteenth verse. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We cannot change. We cannot testify. We cannot do anything to glorify God's name if we turn around and do it in a sinful lifestyle. Once you've changed your life and you get off your mountain, as Brother Jay talked about today, and you get on God's mountain, you can testify and help teach others of God. We can show people, yes, I have stumbled, I fell, these are my scars, these are my wounds, but with the help of God, I survived, but not all do. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you of the plan of salvation that he brought to the children of men, the plan of redemption. Let me tell you about his love and his kindness. The things that the apostles had to learn when they woke up. When they became converted, they were allowed to feed his sheep. We read about Peter, but it was all of them. It is all of us. When we wake up, we see God's holy mountain. Pick up your feet and move to it. Change our ways and then testify of him. Verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. David understood that what he did was a grievous thing. I had to look up blood guiltiness. Blood guiltiness. In Strong's, it's 1818. It says, that which was shed caused death of men or animals, death of the innocent. That innocent was Uriah. David knew that he did this grievous sin. And he was asking to be forgiven for it. There's no sin that any of us can commit that is so grievous except for denying the Holy Ghost that we can't repent of. We may look at ourselves in shame and say, God can never forgive me. But that's not what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures say that if you are willing, you are worthy to be forgiven. But you must change and follow me. That is what God is asking for us to do. start with 14 again. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praises. For thou desirest not sacrifices, or else I would give it. David understood, I believe, by this verse, that there was no sacrifice that he could offer on the altar that would be acceptable before God, because innocent blood had been shed. Sin does not always affect just one person. It affected a whole nation here and took the life of one. So he knew he couldn't go to the priest and offer up bullocks and lambs. He had to offer up something else. Thou desirest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. O God, wilt thou not despise? In Joel, we read this. Joel, the second chapter, verse 32. Excuse me. Verses 12 and 13. Joel, the second chapter, verse 12. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all thy heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And that's what we saw David did. He wept, he mourned, put on sackcloth. And rent your heart and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him from evil. Once we wake up, we must rent our heart and turn to God. And follow after him with the full intent of our heart. Does that mean that we won't stumble and fall again? No, it doesn't. It means that we recognize the path that we must travel. But our flesh is weak. We all can stumble over and over and over again. Sometimes with the same sin. We just didn't get smart enough to learn how not to do it. Try to keep our same friends. Try to keep those people around us. I see where I need to go. You all need to come with me. But yet they're all too weak to help each other. Romans, 12th chapter. Verses 1 and 2, and verse 9. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is our reasonable service to God, to present ourselves and try to make ourselves as acceptable possible. the sacrifice, to deny the flesh of God. And in what helps us to do so, in verse 9, we read, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. If you wake up and you find that those things around you have pulled you away from God, make them an enemy. Abhor them. Hate them. Turn away and look for that which is clean and wholesome and godly. Back in Joel. Second chapter, verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. As the Lord has said unto the remnant whom the Lord shall call. He is calling to each and every one of us. We need to make sure that we are on God's mountain. I've been out in the country and I've seen a lot of pretty places. And I've looked across a few canyons. But if you find out that you're sitting on a mountain and you're looking across the canyon and you see the most beautiful mountain in the world and it's God's mountain, you're in the wrong place. Pick up. Wake up. And move. And when you get on God's mountain, then you can turn around and holler to the others, come, let me tell you of my Savior and my Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you.